Unintentional HRS security lapses often happen when something cues a routine behavior, as perhaps when learned in training, and what happens to be a normal context. The practical implications of these HRS practices encourage managers to incorporate such repeated drills into training procedures that consider preferred actions in light of different security scenarios. So continuous employee education is required, important, and this also can be achieved through management taking up the value messages, the poster campaigns which are on the walls, the orientation sessions to be conducted for the employees. Once practitioners appreciate the need to modify existing system design and training procedures to counteract unconscious behavior, they will reinforce desired security behaviors and significantly reduce the risk that undesired behaviors can have. So more and more education to employees, helping them to take up the regular security protection practices, can help to protect the important data of the organization, the critical data of the organization, and to avoid the undesirable consequences. How do you enhance security with a measure of audits? So HR audit is a comprehensive method of objective and systematic verification of the existing practices, documentation and policies and procedures that are existing in the current system of the organization. So HR audit is something which is very important and helps to protect the security of HRIS. Through HR auditing, though HR auditing is not mandatory like financial auditing, yet there are organizations which are seriously opting for a regular HR audit practice. This is to look at how the policies and strategies and objectives and legal requirements are taken care of, how it is addressed, how it is safeguarded. So primary component which are audited from HR perspective are the documents, job descriptions, the personnel selection or the hiring practices, the training and development practices, compensation and employee benefit system, how the potential identification, succession planning, career management practices are adhered to, how the employee relations, performance measurement and evaluation process, how the exit process is carried out, how the KRA, KPIs are maintained in HRIS. So all these are the areas which are audited. Now, what do you mean by audited? There are processes and policies which are introduced and adhered to and oriented to the employees, whether at every stage of the JD creation, the hiring pattern, the performance appraisal, the training nominations, potential identification, the talent management, transfers, increment. While doing all these things, whether the given processes and policies are adhered or not, that has been checked out. That has been verified by taking the random sample or by taking particular departments and how the processes are carried out. The entire process of HR auditing is broadly segmented into the following phases. Pre-audit information, on-site review, records review, and audit report. These are the four steps. The first three phases involve extensive collection of quantitative and qualitative information. Okay. So pre-audit information, asking for the information, send us these decision-making points. Then on-site review, actually meeting those personnel, actually meeting those departmental heads, actually sitting with those line managers. Random sampling of the employees who are taking the decisions for those particular areas. Then looking at what the records which are established, whether really those decisions had been taken in the alliance with the guidelines which are given from HR department. They are actually followed, they are matching the records or not. And then out of all these observations and interviews and documentation, what is the analysis? That's audit report. So first three phases involve extensive data collection, quantitative and qualitative. The method of collection of information depends upon the size of target audience, availability of the professionals or the officials, and the type of data to be collected. Now, pre-audit information phase includes a review of the organization policies, existing HR manuals, employee handbooks, reports, which create a foundation work or the reference documents or reference information, okay, basis to the working of these processes in the organization. The next phase is on-site review that involves creating the questionnaires, sharing the questionnaires, or using the questionnaires to interview the officials, documenting the observations while the interviews are on, informal discussions, surveys, or combination of such methods to get the necessary inputs from the members of the organization to know whether people are actually following the processes and guidelines which have been given to them to carry out the roles and responsibilities, or there are attempts to compromise on those guidelines. This is the purpose which helps, this audit helps to look at how far you can actually help the protection for HRIs. The records review phase requires detailed scanning of current HR related records, employee files, employee absenteeism, turnover statistics, notices that has been given to the employees, compensation claims that employees have raised, performance assessment. So these all are sample areas or important areas for sample, crucial critical areas for sample, where if the compromises to follow the guidelines have happened, then the process is compromised. Then your HRIs will not be able to give you the much required information for the valid decision making. The security audit should be designed with very specific responsibilities in respect of organizational procedures for the screening and appointment of the staff. Very important. Criteria of confidentiality for the classification and protection of the information is very important. Commercial and ethical screening of new investment opportunities, both internal and external to the organization. So, wherever organization officials have specific roles for undertaking commercial activities, new investment, capex related, all these come in the guidelines. What are the behaviors to follow? So the ethical screening is very important, and that also forms a part of the audit. Prevailing statutory and professional data protection standards. This is also very important. Statutory regulatory compliances are equally important for the organization's image and success and brand, and also for the employees to keep up with the organization culture. Whether those behaviors are met continuously, whether people are empowered, whether people are inspired, whether they are motivated, whether they have developed the fundamental approach to have or to be part of imparting the security to the processes, procedures, and policies of the company. All these actions create the safe way for your information system. When planning the security audit for the staff, it is important to consider face-to-face consultations, discussions, briefings amongst the group of employees and then their managers. So conversations are important. Discussions are important. Making employees and officials aware is important. Once the auditors feel that they have some ownership of the concepts underlying the new system, it is sensible either to prepare accessible documentation that assumes nothing and regularly updated, or to provide computer-based training CBT systems. Every year, many organizations, including nonprofits or for-profit corporations, get ready for an independent audit of their financial records. If you are review your books before the audits, one might be able to pick up on issues and fix them before the audit happens. Beyond that, maintaining clear communication with the auditor will help ensure that the audit runs smoothly. So there should be belief in the audit culture. There should be an attitude or the culture building towards compliances, ethics building, and following the processes which are agreed and beneficial for the organization and employee growth. Organizing documents and staff, how it is done? By holding a meeting with staff, we'll be working on the audit. So it is made clear to people who are going to participate in the audit, what's coming, how they should be prepared, what is that they are supposed to look for in the information. Soon after the end of the year, gather the finance staff and others who will be potentially be involved with the audit. Designate a single staff member to act as an audit point person. So it's most efficient to have a single point person who works directly with the auditor. So the auditor always knows who to direct their questions to. That point persons can then delegate as necessary to get the auditor's question answered or produce the documents they need. So if the entire team starts working towards building all types of data, it is waste of time, it is chaotic, and that is how it is important to have a central person related to that particular process who is appointed, authorized, nominated to revert to the auditor with particular data which is required. So gathering all requested documents which are required for the audit in a single location is important. The auditor will provide the list of documents they will need to conduct the audit. So it comes as a prior intimation, a prior communication prior to the audit happens. Then there is initiation of gathering the digital and paper copies of these documents in the room where the auditor will be doing their work. So for past so many years, every type of data was looked at through papers. Today, the papers are required, but the electronic copy is equally competent to make a justice. And both have to get matched. One can have the electronic copy at the same time, your Excel sheet data also should have validating proofs with your paperwork. There happens a coordination with the staff and records with the auditor before fieldwork begins. The day before the audit, one has to meet with the auditor either on the phone or in person and walk through the fieldwork plans. Giving the auditor contact information for all the staff who are involved in carrying out those actions and who will potentially be involved with the audit. So all the possible nominations who will be answerable for that process carrying out, the names ideally to be communicated to the auditor. Planning against intrusion in HRIS. To commit a computer fraud, the criminal must have access to the computer. That's a basic requirement. So both physical and logical access must be controlled, and planning must take account of known vulnerabilities. Most of the frauds have obvious symptoms, and the principal detection strategies rely on noticing deviations from the norm. Once management suspicions have been raised, a good rule is to follow the asset and to ignore the apparent records. Similarly, if documents are missing, the auditor should suspect the person who would have been suspected had incorrect documents been found. So electronically, the data and also the paper data, they have to be available. They should be matching. They should be logical. Once established, the auditor's first task is to identify and watch all the vulnerable points. So where is the mismatch? What is the story in between which is not giving a complete picture? The job of auditor is to identify that. The aim should always be to avoid any prejudice to employer or employee relations. So what is important is what is not being followed to be identified so that the line of action will be correction of that carrying out of the way of work. It is well known fact that audits disrupt the normal working routines. That's true. It consumes a lot of time and the standard routine way of work. Hence, they should be carefully planned and maintain a good level of staff morale and to avoid appearing either provocative or overly paranoid. Once the team has been recruited and the audit plan, it is best to carry out checks by surprise, even though this may introduce a confrontational element between the audit team and the affected employees. But there can be surprise visits, surprise interviews. A period of about a fortnight is a useful target. There are a variety of reasons for this. The online fraudsters often live up to their image and may need to continue the fraud to meet newly acquired commitments. They may be arrogant enough to believe that the fraud is not detectable. They may consider the investigation a challenge and enjoy the game of continuing the fraud while under scrutiny. They may recognize that if the fraud stops, the operational pattern will change, thus revealing the existence and method of the fraud. What are the potential areas for fraud? The actual level will depend on the factors such as the ability of each member of staff to gain access to critical resources, the skills of those who are involved, and the amount of time available to plan and execute the fraud. So these are the primary possibilities where a potential fraud can happen. A good secured HRMS will always be the greatest achievement of an organization where we thrive to have a very big employee and candidate database. It will benefit in the below ways for the greater achievement in the business. Efficiency, data and identity theft prevention, conflict resolution, and business savings. So if the attempts are made on these four grounds, it will help to take care of even the large pool of employee database through the HRMS. So here we come to the end of chapter 5. Thank you.